Scripture reading this evening will be from Daniel chapter 3, verses 10 through 26. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, True, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire.
And that's the sermon for tonight. We'll stand and sing. April Fools. I still got about an hour left that I wanted. Isn't that a great story? Man, I like that. I've always enjoyed the book of Daniel. It's applicable to all of us, but it especially speaks to our young people. Because here were 3 young teenagers that were challenged to stand up for their God and for what they believed in. And this story is about 3 specific ones, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who wouldn't bow, who wouldn't bend, who wouldn't burn. What a great account of faith in one so young. I'd like to kind of look back at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We find it in Daniel 2 and Daniel 3. But it has to do with the children of Israel were taken into Babylonian captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And it was because of Judah's infidelity. We read in Daniel 1, verses 1 and 2. And there were a lot of young people taken. The Babylonians wanted to educate or re-educate the youth. Now, that ought to tell you something right there about what's going on in our nation today. Because this started way, way back here in, this happened in 606 B.C. So even then, the devil was narrowing in on the youth. We have got to be conscious of that in the church today. Because one of the things that's happening, and Jeremy's talked about it, I've talked about it, is that we're losing our youth in the church to the world. We are going to have to try as parents and as grandparents and as church leaders to give more attention to the fact that the devil knows that the best way to undermine the sanctity of the truth is to divert the hearts of our children. Now, he's playing a waiting game for sure. But it's something that will pay off for him if we don't wake up. So Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, they took these young men and they were going to reprogram them. And so the three that we're talking about, well, the four actually that are mentioned in Daniel is Daniel. And back then, the parents really put a lot of thought into the names. Not that we don't put thought into our names, but they really tried to narrow in on what the name meant. And Daniel's name means God is my judge. Hananiah, his name meant God is gracious. Mishael meant who is what God is. And Azra meant God has helped. So when they took them into captivity, this wouldn't do. These Jewish names, these Hebrew names, just wouldn't do. So that's whenever the Babylonians renamed them. And they renamed Daniel Belshazzar, and which means the supreme god, or Bel's prince, which was their supreme god. And Hananiah was named Shadrach, which meant commandment to Aku, which was another big time god in the Babylonian idolatry. And Mishael was named Meshach, which means who is like Ahu. And Azra was named Abednego, which means servant of Nego, another of the Babylonian gods. So these three Hebrew children, along with Daniel and others, were to be re-educated, and they were to be reprogrammed basically for 3 years. And the king's commandment was that they be given the best of the best, because they were the cream of the crop. So the very first test that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced came in the way of the food that the king wanted them to have. And the food that he wanted them to have was the best. It was what he ate. It said it was from the king's table. So you're talking about the best of the meats, the best of everything. Wine. And so Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, took a stand. They said, we don't want to eat these meats because, for one thing, they're offered to idols. And another thing, they are forbidden meats in our religion. And so the steward said, no, man, I can't do that. I'm putting my head, that's literally, I'm putting my head on the block here. Because if I don't do what the king says, and you start, your health is not good, then it's going to come back on me because I'm in charge of this. And so Daniel talked to him and said, well, just try us out for 10 days. 10 days. And so for 10 days, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego only ate vegetables. And after the 10 days, it was noticeably different in their countenance, in how healthy they looked, than it was in those that had eaten the king's meat. And you know, I look back at this and I think, well, you know, this wasn't a big deal, was it? I mean, you know, you eat a few steaks. That's what's the big deal here? But of course, we know like the rest of the story. Because this wasn't the first challenge or the only challenge that they were going to face as far as whether they stood up for God or whether they didn't. Because their faith is really going to be put to the test later. Daniel, of course, thrown into the lion's den, and here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. So, obeying God, the first lesson we learned, obeying God in little things is important. There are plenty and enough of the big things that we need to do in obeying God, but you find the faithful willing not only to be faithful in the coming to church on Sunday morning things, but the little things. Little challenges at work to not be a part of this or not be a part of that because you're a Christian. The things at school that nobody's going to really know anything about. They're not going to find out about it. But you know about it. You know that's not right. So those little things are preparing you, as it did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, for the big challenges that'll come along in the way of life, your journey. And they will come. Oh, yeah. They will come. So, our story goes on about how that King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. And none of his magicians and wizards and soothsayers can interpret this dream. Because it's hidden from them, of course, by God. And so Daniel is called, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they interpret the dream. And as a result of that, they find great favor in the sight of the king. And so they are elevated above all the others that were taken into captivity. And so they are basically in these high government positions. But then Nebuchadnezzar decides that he's going to build this giant image of a god. It said in Daniel that it was 6 cubits, which are cubits a little bit more than a yard, but 6 cubits would, 6 yards would be about 18 feet high. So it probably just a little bit more than that, probably 18, probably 20 foot high. Pretty big golden image. A lot of gold. And he issued a decree that whenever the musical instrument sounded, that everyone was to bow down and worship the image. And so, the time came. The musical instrument sounded, and everyone bowed down to the king's image. Everyone except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, when it was reported to him, the king really kind of was a little astonished because he'd been so good to him, elevated him to prominent positions, and so he didn't want to just condemn them right off. So he had them called to him, and he asked him about this, and he said, "Now look, I don't know if you really understood what the deal is here, but you got to bow down. So let it be written, so let it be done. So you got to bow down." And so he gave them another chance, had the instruments to sound again, and they didn't bow down, even at the threat of being cast into the fiery furnace. Now this time, it made Nebuchadnezzar really, really angry. So angry that he commanded that the fiery furnace be heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. Even so hot were the flames of the fire that the soldiers that cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace were burned to death. Just when they opened the door to throw them in. Now, partner, that's pretty hot. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they didn't burn. In fact, when the king looked in there, there were four men walking in the fire. Now, I don't know whether it was just the scripture, whether it was Daniel's writings, or whether the king really did recognize that this fourth person, Daniel writes it that way anyway, was like the Son of God. They come out of the fire, hair's not singed, clothes not burned, no smell of smoke, it's not even the smell of fire or smoke on them. The only thing that the fire burned were the chains that they had put on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So what are our lessons? What are our lessons quickly here? Well, number one, we learn how important it was to recognize the authority of God. And that's exactly what they did. They put God first. Wow, what a challenge that is in our 21st century world. No, we're not literally asked to bow down before some golden image like the children of here were. But the world is constantly saying, "Give me your devotion. Give me your time. Give me your talents. Give me your children. And if we don't, it goes about to try to take those things. So, in a very real challenge sense of the word, we, like the children here, the Hebrew children, are challenged not to give in, not to give over. Do not bow down to the things of this world. And of course, the Master himself challenges us, Matthew 6, verse 33, to seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are actually to put God before our civil authorities, we're told in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21. You know, I never thought that that would be a thing in America. We were built, this nation was built upon religious freedom. And, you know, but it is a thing. We're seeing it. We've seen our Congress make laws that were contrary to God's truth. We've seen it in our lifetime. And I'm going to tell you what. That's not the last that we're going to see. I'm thankful whenever you guys that lead our prayers, I'm thankful, and very often you do, thank God for our freedom to worship. It is an awesome freedom. And more we're being challenged to thank God for that because of this very thing. Now, there are countries around the world, all around the world, where they are really impaired in their worship and service to God by the government. But to this point, at least, we're still free to worship Him. And I thank God for it. But God is to come before our civil authorities. God is to come before religious authorities that are teaching things adverse to God's truth. Acts 4, verses 19 through 20. And this is exactly what the children here, Hebrew children, did. Now, they could have very well said, everybody's doing it. I know I said that to my parents. I've said that. You have too. Well, everybody's doing it. We don't like to be different. It's hard to be different. Hard when you're a young person, when you're in school. It's hard to be different. I know that. You might not believe this, but I actually was young once. Long time ago. And I was popular. I wanted to be popular, and I enjoyed being popular. I was the president of the student body. I was a captain on the football team. I was in the in group. But it wasn't as many challenges, I don't think, back then. I don't think. I was the one that didn't smoke. I was the one that didn't drink. I was the designated driver, they call them today. We didn't know what that was back then. I just knew that I didn't drink, so I drove the car. I went with my buddies, and they did. And often I was challenged to do that very thing. But, you know, after a while, it's so strange that you know, maybe we ran into some new guys and hung out with them or something, and they'd say, here, have a beer. And you know, after a while, Even it was my friends that would say, no, he don't drink. No, he don't smoke. It was like, I don't know. Maybe they had a respect that I didn't even realize because I wouldn't do that. But, you know, I said to Mother and Daddy, you know, everybody's doing it. I don't want to be different. We don't want to be different. But that's what Christianity is. The church is the call out. We're called to be different. We're called to think different. We're called to act different. We're called to talk different. We're called to be different. Even when it's hard to do. And the children, Hebrew children here, taught us to recognize God's authority. And we learn here that they refused to violate their conscience. Now, let me say this about conscience can be a good guide. Conscience, you do not let your conscience be your only guide. Because we can do things to our conscience. We can sear our conscience. You know what he's talking about when he says sear your conscience? When I think about that, I think about all. I love watching cowboy shows. I watch Death Valley Days every night before we go to bed, and Cheyenne and Laramie. But you know, I've always loved cowboy shows. And you know, they'll get shot. And of course, there's no doctor out there. And so, man, they heat up this poker in the fire or a knife, and they dig out that bullet, and then they take that poker and they sear that wound. And man, I don't know why doctors don't do that today, because the next day they're in town with a gunfight, you know. If it worked that good, why we don't do that anymore, you know? But when they sear that wound, it what it does is it traumatizes, it closes off those blood veins, and it burns that flesh, and it traumatizes the nerves. And so the Bible says we can sear our conscience. We can have an evil conscience, the Bible says. So a conscience is a good guide, and God gave it to us for that reason. And it is a very reliable guide when we educate it with God's word. But when we don't, and we follow that conscience, it can lead us down the wrong road. But they refused to violate their conscience. And then they refuse to compromise. God's word is not to be compromised. That's not what we do with God's word. But I think we have. I think we have. I see a dramatic change in our way of life today. Than a few years ago. I'm not talking about going all the way back to me. I'm talking about going back to Randy, some of you guys. The world has changed. We've compromised. We've made some compromises with the world. And it ain't good. We need to get back to speaking where the Bible speaks, remain silent where the Bible is silent. We need to go back to the old paths and the old ways, because those are the sure things. And we do not need to compromise. But then finally tonight is that we see that they were delivered from certain death. And they told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, God, our God, can deliver us. Didn't say he would, because they didn't know for sure that he would. But that was a non-issue. The thing was, our God is able to deliver us. And then I want to close tonight by just simply reading to you from Daniel chapter 3, verses 26 through 30 here. And I want you to see what the end result was of their faithfulness, their stand for God. They're willing not to compromise. Beginning with verse 26 in chapter 3 of Daniel, it says, "And then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the administrators and the governors and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies were in the fire and had no power over them. And the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them." Now I want you to notice right here. "And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent an angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's will and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made as ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God has promised that he'll be with us. He won't let us be tempted anymore of what we can bear. And he'll always be there, no matter what. And that all things, some things, preacher, no. A few things, no. All things will work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I don't know how God will do it in your life. But I'm telling you, you stand up for him. You stand fast. You serve him faithfully. You put him first. You humble your heart unto God and love him more than you love this world. And he will keep his promises. Will you come while together we stand and sing?